cup of praise. Oh, we've come to worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you to the worship team, the musicians, to all of the worshipers here this morning. Thank you so much. We are so glad that you are here this morning. So good to see Sister Inbone's mother, several other guests that are here. We are glad you are here this morning. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am glad to be here. I am thankful this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go to the Word of the Lord just quickly. Small thought. Just want to plant it in your heart this morning, just for a moment. I used to say this often, and I'll say it this morning. I like my sermons like I like my grass. Cut it short. To the point. Hallelujah. I want to talk about rooms in the home. Rooms in the home. We're going to go to Psalms 127 and verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I'm praying that the Lord builds this house. I'm praying that the Lord builds your house, your spiritual house. And I'm praying that he blesses and anoints your physical house, rooms in the home. Dear Jesus, we come to you today. We ask that you would anoint our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. Lord, this word that we have this morning, let it penetrate. Let it do a work. Lord, you take control of our lives. You build the house. Lord, we can have programs and the best music and the best singing and the best facilities, but unless you build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Lord, we don't want to labor in vain. We want to labor with you, and we want to build the house. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There in our society are four basic institutions: the state, the school, the church, and the home. Of these four, the home is of supreme importance. The home has a profound influence on the state, the school, and the church. Whether it is a Christian or un-Christian, it will have an effect upon these other basic institutions. When the home is genuinely Christian, the church can make a spiritual impact on society and on culture and on the people around. The school can do the best possible job of stimulating the intellects of our young minds. When we have Christian homes, the state is most secure from foreign invasion as well as from inward deterioration. Christian homes make a difference in society. Because of the profound influence of Christian homes for good, and because of the alarmingly high percentage of marriage failures, we need to discover the source of strength and do all that we can to ensure the success of not only marriage, but of family life and of our homes. We're talking about rooms in the homes this morning. One does not accidentally build a Christian home. Freedom is not free. Somebody has to pay a price. You do not accidentally create a prayer life. You do not accidentally build a successful business. You do not accidentally go out and are able to afford a nice car and pay the payments on that car. You have to do something to get the results that you are looking for and trying to obtain. Except the Lord build the house. They that labor, labor in vain. I don't want to do anything without the Lord. My wife and I were having a discussion yesterday on our way back from a wedding we attended, and we began to talk about some things, some life decisions and some thoughts and some goals we're wanting to obtain and to get to. And I stopped her and I said, I want the will of God in every decision. I want God to be in the big middle of everything we choose to do and whatever path we try to get on to reach our goals for our family and our future. I want God in the big middle of it all. Because except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. Today, our Christian values must be stressed. There are many corporations throughout America that are owned by foreign companies. My father-in-law's company that he works for, they were bought out by a company in England, and which ultimately goes around back to Chicago, a place called Spectris, and it's a $1 billion corporation. But he answers to people that are not American, that don't have the same beliefs or ideas or culture or history that he has. Wasn't raised in the same environment that he was raised in. Often dealing with men and women from other countries around the world, a global company, that have different religions, serve different gods. Can I tell you there's only one real God, real living? But these men have their backgrounds and their way of doing things and their thoughts and their religions. Our high school students, our children right here in Louisiana, in many schools, have Lebanese friends, Indian friends, Hindu friends, Buddhist friends, Muslim friends. We actually had a Muslim young girl come to one of our first lock-ins that we had right here. She hasn't been back because her parents found out where she went, and they didn't want us converting her, but she had a good time while she was here. So we have people all around us of different faith, different religion, different background. There are now more Muslims than Methodists, both in Britain and in the United States of America. Not picking on anybody's religion, but I'm just saying, rooms in the home. What rooms do you have in your home? What rooms are there in your spiritual home? What people are influencing, or who do you allow into those rooms of your life? The concept of being a Christian has given way to the pluralist society. It is no longer observable that we here in America are only a Christian nation. We are a melting pot of many nations, many people, many different religions and backgrounds. And the Christian faith is not the only option that people are looking at. But I want them, when they look at us, when they look at this house, when they see this house walk into Walmart or to Sam's, I want them to see that the Lord has taken part and built that house. I want them to be attracted to the light that is reflecting off of us, that they could see, hey, there is a real way, and that God would reveal truth to them. The real God, the only God, the living God. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. 1% of the child's time is spent under the influence of Sunday school. 1%. 7% under the influence of a public school, and 92% under the influence of the home. Your home matters. What you allow into your home matters. It matters. In placing value on things here in America, the inheritance received from a Christian home is the richest endowment of our lives. What kind of home values are you building? What kind of rooms do you have in your
home. There is a recipe for success. A solid foundation must be laid if one is to build a home that will last. A number of different items go into the building of a foundation, brick and steel. It helps to have that in your foundation. Mortar and stone, a number of ingredients go into the foundation of a Christian home. You know, when you go to build a building, you don't just go out and just start building on top of the grass. There's got to be a scraping away and a clearing off. You know, when you come to God, there's got to be a scraping away and a peeling back and an opening up saying, God, here I am. So he can build on you. But in a Christian home, there are some things we have to have to build. One is faith in God. It's a terrible thing to shut God out of the lives of our little children and the people around us. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, and thou shalt teach diligently. That's talking about God's word. And thou shalt teach diligently children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Number two, the word of God has to be put into the foundation of a Christian home. Worship and work and the preparation for church has to be put in. The word of God. Psalms chapter 1, starting with chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm telling you, folks, there are some things we've got to do. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Can I tell you, there's a season to everything. There's a time and place that your fruit will be mature and can be used. Don't get jealous because someone else is singing or someone else is speaking or somebody else is teaching. Just diligently seek him. Keep preparing. Keep making a way. Keep in the word. Stay in preparation. Your time will come. Your time will come. Years ago, one of the great ministers of our time, I heard him get up and he addressed the congregation and he said, there are better speakers sitting on the pews here tonight than there are standing on the platform. And that's true. Diligently shall be planted, tree planted by the rivers of the living water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whetherso he doeth shall prosper. Do you want to prosper? I want to prosper. There's a recipe. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that which the wind driveth away. Verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And finally, verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's some things you have to do in preparation of building a Christian home and the rooms in your home. A Christian home needs a number of different rooms. Now, the house that many of us live in, most of us live in, there's who has a kitchen? You have a kitchen? I hope you have a kitchen. I like houses with kitchens. Who has a living room? Yeah, a bedroom, maybe two, maybe three. A bathroom, you have a bathroom, that's an important room. Who has a laundry room? That's an important room. Yeah? Who has a den or a library? Who has maybe an office? Maybe you've converted, you have a desk in your house somewhere, it's an office area. Each of these rooms, they serve a what? A purpose, right? If you have guests over, you're probably going to have your living room and dining room and, you know, your kitchen area clean. I hope. And you're going to serve food, and you're going to serve food, and then they're going to go sit in the dining room because the dining room is where we go to eat, right? And fellowship. And then you might have some coffee and go to the living room and sit and continue to fellowship. Now, when you built your house or you moved into your home and it was all clean and nice and everything was just perfect, does it stay that way? It never gets dusty. There's never trash on the floor. There's never, you know, nothing is out of order. No, you have to work at it. You have to dust almost daily sometimes. You'd be amazed if you have hardwood floors and marble, or you'd be amazed if you pull back carpet in some homes and see what's underneath it. When we remodeled this home over here that we live in now, thank God for it, we pulled back the carpet. There was stuff, shovelfuls of dirt that had accumulated through the years. What's in your rooms? What's in your house? What are you building for the next generation to see? I've got to hurry. So there are rooms that we have in our house. In the Christian home, there are a number of rooms that we should have to achieve success. A Christian home needs to have some rooms called gratitude. Say that with me, gratitude. We need to have some gratitude. This room should be used by the entire family. Gratitude releases joy. Gratitude inspires. You know, it means a lot when you come back and you say, thank you. Do you know the children that I remember on the Saturday that we had Summerfest? There's about three of them that came back and grabbed me and hugged me. Thank you, Brother Chris. I remember them. I remember all the other ones too, but they just kind of stick out in my mind because there was gratitude there. It releases joy. It made me happy. It encouraged me. Hey, we're doing a good job. They appreciated this. Gratitude inspires. Gratitude creates a sense of personal satisfaction. Gratitude makes hardships easier. Remind yourself every day, remind yourself the only way you can improve the world or the church is to begin with yourself. That's right. It starts right here. It starts right here. If I get up in the morning and I have a bad attitude and I'm mad and I'm grouchy, it's going to affect my helpmeet. You need to get that CD, sweetie. That was a good message that he preaches morning. Hallelujah. It's going to affect her, though. It's going to affect the rest of our day. But if I wake up with the joy of the Lord, hey, how are you, sweetie? It's a great morning. We're going to have a good day. Thank you, Jesus. I started my day off right. So we've got to consciously look for the good qualities in each other and make a note of the good points that each other and each one of us possess. A Christian home has to have a room called forgiveness. Ephesians 4:26, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The Christian home has got to have a room called sharing. You know, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine. No, what's ours, it's ours. This is us. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. Share responsibility, share joy. The house has to have a room called affection. An attitude of persistent goodwill must continue if a husband and a wife are to be happy and if they are to provide a Christian atmosphere and affection for their children. The home has to have a room called helpfulness. Yeah, I don't mind taking out the trash because I don't want it stinking up the house. I'm going to help you. You don't have to worry about that. It's going to be done. You don't even have to ask. Parents help each other. Parents help your children. Children help your parents. We've got to help one another. The construction of a Christian home begins with spiritual dedication. You've got to be dedicated. You've got to be structured. You've got to have some discipline in your life. Just like you get up to go to work to pay the bills, you don't always want to, but why do you do it? You do it because you have to, and you know you're not going to be able to live there or drive what you drive or buy food or clothes unless you do. And it's the same thing with living for God. Jesus will come.